Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Come and grab a seat. I'm going to need two volunteers this morning. And actually, I'll go with three. I need one who is sort of under the age of 11. I need one in the 20s and 30s, 40s category, and I need one in the 50s plus category. You cannot come up here and not be prepared to answer my question. If you come up here and you don't answer my question about your mother and father, then I'm really sorry, you cannot be up here for those of you. So, Ariane, when won't you come? Come on, give it to you. She's a desperate. Can I get all the people's hands between the ages 20, 30, and 40? Just raise your hands. You're actually volunteering right now, so raise your hands. Really good. Don't, you telling me that's the only people we have in here that between the age of 20, 30, and 40?
There's some liars.
Yeah, liars, you bunch of liars. Put your hand up because the next time I'm going to say, I think you're over 40. Who is it? I just see this name, Reed. I just see that. Does anybody see Reed? One of them can pick the other one if they feel like it, but whichever one wants to come, they can come. So just send one of them. Okay. Was that a submissive wife moment or a domineering husband moment? Which one was that? Okay. Come up on the stage. Get a chair. Take somebody's chair. Get a chair. And I need somebody 55 plus. All the 55 pluses, can I see your hands? I know it's difficult to raise your hand. But raise it. Believe in faith that you're going to raise it in a moment. Absolutely. Okay, who have we got? Oh, my goodness. There's a beautiful lady with a beautiful red cardigan over there. And I think you should come. Give her a big round of applause. Okay, come and take your seats. Can I have Ariane win? We're all ladies this morning. Well, not me, but... Up here. Oh, come on, Ruth. Let's go. One, two, three. That's it. Well, no, I know you're not. I'm more asking if you can help me stay up straight. All right. Today when you guys just face them, look at them, judge them. When we talk today for the next 26 minutes, I'm going to ask these beautiful ladies some questions about their lives. And so I want you to begin to think about your life. I want you to think about some of the days that you would love to relive again. If you had a day to yourself, what would it look like? What would you love to do? We'll write this down if Jeff's not here, so he knows. But what would you love to do? What do you think is your ideal moment? What would you not want to do on a certain day? But when we do this, I want you to picture this. I have three items here. One is a heart. It's my heart. One is my towel, clean tea towel from my house, and Asher and Reuben's shield. When you come to the table, I want you to remember something. When you sit at the table as families, when you sit at the table as friends, I want you to remember that we first come to serve one another. Whatever conversation you're going to have today, when you're about to let loose and shout at somebody or tell them that they're wrong or whatever it is, I want you to remember that Jesus said we come to serve. So how are you going to serve that person that you're about to have a conversation with? I want you also to remember that we don't come here with a shield to protect ourselves and to bang against somebody else. We come as a shield, and it represents that we actually got to drop our defenses in this moment. Is your shield up in the conversation I'm about to have with you and these ladies, or is your shield down and you've dropped your defenses? Lots of you do not want to drop your defenses today because you might be exposed. So we got to serve. We're going to drop our defenses. And then the third thing we're going to do in the conversation that really matters is we're going to listen with understanding to love each other well. We're going to listen with understanding to love each other well. So what are we going to do? We're going to serve. We're going to drop our defenses. Somebody said shoes. And we're going to love each other. Wow. You remember those three things the next time you sit at a table with somebody or about to engage in a conversation, and I promise you, you'll come at it from a different angle. And if you cannot come with those three things, go away and pray before you come to the table. Postpone the meeting, postpone the moment. Don't do it because you might just bring something to the table that's going to actually cause an issue that you're going to have to come back and ask for forgiveness again for. I want you to remember those three things as we have this conversation. So ladies, I am really interested that there's three ladies here. All right, so I'm going to ask you the same question. You can each answer it. If you had a day to yourself, this is your day. You get up in the morning, you've got the full day to yourself. What are some of the things you would love to do with your day? Come on, Ruth. What would you love to do with your day?
No washing, no ironing, and no cleaning.
No, right. Do you know what? Isn't it interesting? You told me what you didn't want to do. What do you want to do? I'll come back to you. Rebecca, what would you want to do with your day off? No, you can. It's what you want to do.
I would have a date day with some food and some shopping and no baby if that's allowed.
Okay, a date day. I'm assuming with your hubby.
Yeah, with my
okay, good. Good. Date with a husband. No. But you also told me what you didn't want as well.
I did, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Harry Anwin, what would you do on a day that was just for you?
Eat lots of fast food.
Good. On whose credit card?
My mum's.
Mum's, good.
I would swim.
Oh, nice. Leisurely or like?
Leisurely.
What else would you do?
Not have a little brother to deal with.
Where's Arthur? Arthur, ask for forgiveness from your brother now. Arthur, she loves you with a passion. Do you believe me? Oh. Okay, thank you, Arthur. You may sit down. I hope you're listening. I'm going to test you at the end. Anything else you'd like to do on your day off? You'd like to sleep. So start with a bit of sleep and so on and forth. Okay, let me come back to you. What do you not want to do? Yeah, you told me that. Tell me what you really want to do now. Sorry. What would you really like to do on your day off?
Be taken out for a nice meal without any children.
Good. So Jeff can't come.
No. Definitely not Jeff.
So nice meal. Anything
with else? With the ladies.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to do?
Not really, no.
Run along the beach?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't mind going to the beach, yeah.
Ice cream?
No, it's all right. It's not mine ice cream. I'm not fast on it.
Go to the airport and just get on a plane wherever you want to go?
I don't like flying.
Okay. There's a holiday crew over there that go on cruises. Maybe they'll let you go with them. Do you like cruises?
I've only ever been on one.
Would you like to go on another?
Yes.
You can invite her. But you don't. What didn't you want to do on your day off? You said to me right in the beginning.
To do washing, ironing, and cleaning.
You didn't want to do washing, ironing, and cleaning. What don't you want to do on your day off?
I think I'm going to stick to the same. Any cleaning.
Washing, ironing, cleaning. Anything else?
No work.
No work. Ariane, what don't you want to do on your day?
Well, since I don't already iron, wash, or clean, I'd probably no homework.
No homework. Do you want to go to school?
No.
Do you want to clean your room?
No.
Do you want to pick up after your parents?
No.
Do you want to hang out with your brother?
No.
Oh, it's getting a bit... No. So we've now found out what they'd love to do on their day off and what they wouldn't want to do on their day off. Let me ask you one more question. How often have you had in this last 6 months your dream day off?
Never.
Never in the last 6 months?
Friday.
Oh, Friday! Ariane, have you done everything you've described in the last 6 months on one of your days?
Not that I can remember.
Oh, parents, come on.
So?
You don't think so. All right, won't you give these ladies a big round of applause? Can you take the seat with me? Let's have some assistance. Children, I want you to listen up, and I want you to listen up really quickly. Remind me these three things. Serving. Take down your defenses. Love people well. I'm going to keep asking you those things, because if you remember nothing else, I want you to remember those things. What is the number one frustration, as of Google, that wives have with husbands? What's the number one frustration? They don't listen. Oh, here it's going to come out now, isn't it? They don't listen. What is the number one frustration? Laziness. Not in your household, Simon. Never. I can never believe that about you. What's the number one frustration? Get even more practical. It's about a certain item being left around. Sorry, Sadami? Pants on the floor. The number one frustration. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. How many of you leave your pants on the floor? Here's the second question. Why is that the number one frustration? Why do men perceivably do that? And I'm saying perceivably because I don't want to come with a judgmental heart or attitude towards any of you men, because actually you don't do that because you're really vigilant. But why do they do that? Because of what? To annoy your wife, yes. Why do they do that? They don't want to, but why? Why do they do that? Carol? Because the basket's not near enough. Go a little deeper. I want you to go a little deeper for me. Think a little bit deeper. Why don't men traditionally do that? Because the women pick it up, and which woman used to pick it up first? Their mother. So their mother used to walk around picking up their underwear for them. So as they grew up as teenagers, their mother went, oh, shame, poor boy, and picked up their underwear, and so on and so forth. It went. It might have been with a stick as they got a little bit older, and so on and so forth. But what happens is, you don't actually need to blame the son. You need to go back to the mother sometimes. How many of you ladies in this place, and I'm being a little bit, I don't want to say sexist, but in a way I'm trying to lean a little bit here, and it doesn't mean that. I'm not saying, men, you don't do something. How many of you listened to those ladies and for one of them said, in the last 6 months, I haven't done a day that I'd really love to do? You see, sometimes we end up doing so many things in a household and in a family that we're not meant to do, and we don't help the next generation grow up to be what they should be. So we've still got wives, and we're generalizing here, picking up men's underwear, because actually, mum didn't tell them, pick your own underwear up. And so we grow a generation that is lack of responsibility and expectation. We grow a generation where we don't understand that we're part of a family, and we're putting extra burden on other people because we won't pick up and do what we're called to do so that we come together. We grow a generation now of expectation that it should all just come to me. I drive my car through McDonald's, and I should get my meal when I get to the end of it. I don't want to leave my car. You don't even have to leave your home anymore. We are now programmed to call Uber Eats, Just Eats, whatever Eats, so that we can sit there and be served in order to receive what we feel we should receive. That is not the biblical definition of family. The biblical definition of family is that we all see the gifting in one another, and you cannot receive the gifting from somebody unless you will see it and allow them into your life. And then together, we create a healthy home, and we know that a society built on healthy homes will have an impact to nations. And that's how we become the effective family of God. Let me read you a scripture. I think it's on the screen. This was a scripture, the second scripture given to us as Liberty Church when we first planted the church. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 21. This is from the Message translation. You can read it in the other versions. It says the same. It says not theologically changed. Take charge, take heart, don't be anxious or get discouraged. God, my God, is with you. Guess what? God's with us. He won't walk off. God's not leaving. He's not abandoning us. He won't leave you in the lurch. He's at your side. Every last detail is completed for conducting the worship of God. Today we are worshiping him. When we serve one another, we're worshiping him. When we gather in small groups, we're worshiping. When we go to the coffee shop, when we have dinner with one another, when we outreach, we're worshiping him. We were created for worship. That's the bottom line. You are here because he says you can be here. You weren't created for your own desires. That is a joy that he gives you, but you're actually created to worship him. You have all the priests and Levites. Can all the priests and Levites please raise their hands? That's every one of you, just by the way. We're all in this together. Standing ready to pitch in. So all of everyone is ready to pitch into this thing. And skillful craftsmen, everybody with a gift, please raise your hand. That's just all of you. Just talk to yourself. Skillful craftsmen and artisans of every kind, ready to go to work. Both leaders and people are ready. All we have to do is just say the word. Church, little ones, older ones, we are on the brink, coming out of COVID, of the greatest apathy that the church has ever seen to our nation, or we're on the brink of the greatest realization that we're the family of God and we're going to shift and change our nation. It's one or the other. And we got to stop picking up everybody's pants so that actually they grab hold of their own big boy pants and put them in the wash basket and maybe even turn on the washing machine and do the dryer as well, or hold them out the window while you're driving because you need them dry and you can't afford a tumble dryer, however you dry your clothes, and actually grow up to be who we are. So today, in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to call us to account and I'm just going to say the word and I'm going to remind us that we are family. We are family. And everything that is needed in this house to do what we're called to do to us, to the region, and to the nation is sitting here right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are part of this family. If you're new here today, I'm inviting you to be part of the family. You are part of the family. Has anybody ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Okay, somebody tell me, what is the 80-20 rule? So somebody stand up with boldness and shout it at me. Say, yes, David, that's...
80% of the people... Sorry.
80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Is that a biblical principle? What is that? It's a worldly principle. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. That goes against the kingdom when we're a body, we need one another, we're connected, we're part of the person sitting next to us, we have something to give. But let me tell you this, do you know what the church stats are? 6% of the people are doing 95% of the work. I'm talking across this nation. 6% of the people are doing 95% of the work. I'm not talking particularly here, I'm talking about the stats. So we're not even raising the worldly principle. We're agreeing to it and bringing it in and lowering the expectation. 80% of the people, or 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Here's a revelation. We are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are called to occupy every place and every space. And I know as well that there is enough room in family that when we go through trials and tribulations and tough times and emotions and hurt and loss and we can't plug into the practical things, there's enough room for somebody else to step up and go, I'm going to take your place while you're going through this and I'm going to stand alongside you. But you know what? In the Church of Jesus Christ, sometimes we don't have enough room to deal with our inner issues because not everybody's actually stepping up to the plate. And so we look around and go, I haven't got time to deal with what's actually going on inside of me, because what really is, I need to be there, because if I let them down, oh my goodness, the whole church is going to collapse. And then what if we end up burnout and whatever else happens? There is enough space and place, and I'm going to land this thing and bring this to a halt. Statistically, this is the deal. The local church is still the hope of the world. I love what the kids did yesterday, going on the street and evangelizing. I was like, Phoebe, I'm so proud of you for being so brave. I remember when we were kids doing it. How many of you as adults want to join in that process? But still, statistically, the greatest way to change a village and to change a city and to change a nation is to plant a local church. Yeah. It is. You go and do your stats and your research and everything, it still is. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That means he's going to build you and me because we're the church, and he's going to build us collectively together. That's where we're at. So should we plant local churches across the nation? Yes, we should. Yes, we should, because statistically, that is what changes places. But we are on this brink of the greatest apathy, or we're on the brink of the church realizing we're the greatest move that we're going to see. Not when we get super spiritual, not when we just have our own little meetings, but when we actually build family that somebody else looks in and goes, do you know what? You guys are different. You don't pick up men's pants off the floor. The genius of God is this, is in his simplicity. If we do the basic things well, what are the basics? We build relationship. How do we do that? With God, we pray. We read our word. We engage with other believers. It's simple. You think it's so simple. Well, open your diary and see where those principles sit with you daily. And then tell me it's part of our lifestyles. And as we build relationship, we do something with what we're doing. So we actually use our gifting in the areas that it can be used. We then continue to give ourselves to being equipped. Do you know how many believers in Christ I come across in our nation that are not willing to submit to somebody else speaking into their lives? The moment we are not teachable is the moment actually God says, I can't work with this. I've seen it throughout scripture time and time again. The moment any of us say, I know it, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And the fourth thing is we serve. Do you remember these when we come to this conversation? Because some of you might be going, hang on a second, Heath. Remember this conversation, what are we here to do? We here to serve. We here to drop our. And we here to. We're here to love people well. We're here to love people well. So I want to bring this really practical for a Sunday morning. I've been told, and I've written it down, by 32 ministers across England and Wales that coming out of COVID, people are deciding not to get involved in what the local house is doing. They're deciding to stick with what is online because I can stay in my pajamas. And I can watch anything I want across the globe. They've decided not to engage in what the church is actually doing. They don't know what the message of God is saying to the house. And so this week and next week, I want to bring you some things. But I want to land it here this week. And I want you to begin to consider something. But before we do that, we're going to pray. And I want you to close your eyes right now. And if your family's around you, maybe you want to hold their hands. And I'm nearly done. And I want you to, in the quietness of your heart and maybe with each other's, pray something like this. God, I am gifted. I do belong. I am part of those priests and Levites. Help me to be ready to pitch in. Help me to play my part. Help me to realize I matter in the family. Father, help me to recognize that other people matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy, why don't you put that last bit up, the last slide. I just wrote down four things for this week. Up there we have our child's ministry or children's ministry, Liberty Kids. On a Sunday, to give these young ones excellence, to bring the gospel to them, to let them come to be like, this is a house I want to be a part of. We need 12 people who passionately believe in young people, in these children. Say, oh, don't tell me the stats. No, I'm going to tell you the stats. Because if I don't say the word, we're assuming. See the sound team there? There's Fitch sitting on there. There's Man bun and beautiful hairstyle. Very sexy looking this morning. Do you know that every week one of those guys are here at 8:30 and they set up and they take down and do all of that? We need six of those. Why do you need six? There's only 4 weeks in a month. Because you know what? People go through stuff and sometimes we got to pitch in and be a part of them as well and say, hey, you take a week off, I'll jump in for you. See, because family doesn't just keep driving. Family recognizes what's going on. And we have not just enough, we have more than enough in order to make room when people are struggling. Because we don't drive people to the ground. And I promise you this, we're not going to drive people to the ground. Next week, if we don't have, we won't have a sound team, we won't have AV, and we'll stand here and we'll have an acetate and somebody will try and do that. And then somebody will complain, oh, well, my church is rubbish now. We don't have this, we don't have that. No, we do have it. We just don't, people don't say, hey, I want to be a part of the deal. So we need six of those. Six of those sound team. We need 12 of those people in that first one. Joy's sitting there doing the words. Joy's also got three kids. She's also going to get involved in creche, and her husband's trying to do sound as well, just putting it out there, that we need six of those as well who can do what she does. We'll train and we'll equip, and that set up and pack down team, we need people every week to help us set up and pack down. Here's our challenge as a people. We have a lot of children in here. So if one goes, if mum goes and then dad got to look after the kids and so on and forth, you might have to do some family dynamics where dad can look after the kids or mum can for an hour and dad can come and do. You can't tell us this. We're here just for a good time and we want the Lord to touch our lives and we want to fall over in the spirit and we want to be prosperous. We want to, yeah. Do you know what actually gets us to that point of impacting is the slow and the steady, the mundane, everything, building healthy families. And when you build healthy families, you impact generations around you. We are not vigilantes. We're not Tonto on our horse going off to do our own thing. It lasts but a minute. What comes, and the Bible will tell you, it springs out of the fullness of what is in the house. Those of you who are parents or grandparents are raising healthy adults for generations to come. Whatever your house looks like now, it will be reflected in your children one day. And we're not aiming for perfection. Come on. I've made some huge mess ups as a dad. So are my kids going to go for a bit of healing? Yes. Are they going to have to forgive me? Yes. Are they going to look at, Dad, what did you do that for? I'm not aiming for perfection. But I have to allow the rest of the family in to help me raise healthy adults. And so let me remind you, take charge, take heart. Don't be anxious or get discouraged. God, my God, is with you in this. He won't walk off and leave you in the lurch. He's at your side. Every last detail is completed for the conducting of the worship. The detail's done with a plan. All the Levites and priests are ready to pitch in. The skilled craftsmen and artisans ready to go to work. Both the leaders are ready. Just say the word. I'm here to say the word today after COVID and say we've had that season. We've walked that. Now we're in this season. And the best I can do is I don't want anybody to burn. Do you know why we burn out? Because we carry a burden and we take a weight that is not ours to carry. But if we take our little bit and we say, I in this season can do this, but in next season I might be able to do this. And we don't do it out of guilt because God said he's got everything for this house. We do it out because there's a stirring in our heart. And go, I want to serve those kids. I promise you this. I have contemplated handing the leadership of this house over so I can go and serve the kids. You say, that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. It isn't. Because this is not more important than that. Get it out. That's not more important than so on and so forth. We're raising family. Because if it was that important, we'd take more listening to the sermon that's going on and actually doing something about it. I think our kids grab hold of some stuff more than we do. And so I want to pray for us right now as we finish. Joy, won't you put that list up for me? There it is, sorry. Children's ministry, we need 12. You're asking me how many we got. I'm not going to tell you that because you need to pray. Sound team, we need 6 because we need more than us a month. Same as AV and setup we need. We're not asking for every week. This is the practical. Well, Heath, I tell you what, let's just not do a Sunday service. Okay, don't gather as the saints as the scripture called us to. Let's rather just go in our homes and do something nice and easy there. Okay, and do that. That's fine. But that's not what God's called us to. He's called us to be a house that together we build healthy family. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now. Won't you stand with me as a group of people? Father, I thank you for every person in this house, for their hearts to serve. I thank you, Father, for the years, the almost 7 years of this house that we believe you planted, that we believe that you placed. And I thank you for those that have carried it, those that have wept tears over it, those that have agonized, those that have gone beyond. I thank you for them, God. And you know them better than I do. But Father, I thank you for what lies ahead of us. I thank you for the healthiness that we're called to build with into this next season. And I pray, Father, that as we listen to this today, this is not a message to convict us. It's to convince us of who we are. And to call out, this is what we're going to do. I thank you for our gatherings on a Sunday. I thank you for prayer meetings and coffee mornings and youth. And I thank you, God, for lambs. Father, I thank you for congregations to be planted. I thank you for community provisions of children in different areas. I thank you, Father, for outreach. I thank you, Father, for evangelism. And I thank you that everything that we need is right here in this house right now to do everything we called. Help us to not go beyond our grace of what you've called us to, but neither to shrink back in our grace and sit on our blessed assurance. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. What do you do with that now? You pray. You don't make knee-jerk decisions. You pray. And then you go to the welcome desk, this service next, you email Lois, you come and chat and you say, hey, I'm willing to go on this journey. Maybe that's me. You don't have to say yes and commit and that's the end of your life locked in chains. You've always got to get out, but it may be seasonal. It just may be a season. I don't want to hold you to anything. I want to actually release you into everything that God has called you to be. That's the heart of us as a people. We might get it right, we might get it wrong sometimes, but we're raising healthy families for these youngsters that are coming through. That when they take the baton and they're in it already, they're receiving it for this house. They run faster and wider and they see more than we've ever seen before. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's worship.